Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports, now open with better odds and favorable prices. With Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Don't come hanging around my door. I don't want to see your face no more. I got more important things to do. Spend my time going on with you.
Jessica Benson is the host of Rise and Grind at Grind City Media, part of the Grizz Radio Network right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. She joins us every single Tuesday, and she's here now. JB, what's up?
What is up with you guys? Happy Tuesday.
I don't know. I don't know how you identify. We live in a society of identifying, but I would guess you identify as an empath.
I do.
So
I am an empath.
As an empath, and I myself as an empath, I could empathize that you were an empath. Do you?
That's incredible. That feels very empathy of you.
Very much so. Do you empathize, and to what degree, with Dylan Brooks?
How are you contextualizing empathy in this?
So my empathy is not for his decisions on the floor that lead to, you know, self-harm, okay? So I can't empathize with that because he's had plenty of times and chances. But in terms of his body of work and the lack of respect / acceptance that he gets or doesn't get from his peers across the league.
There you go. Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. But I think more than anything, I respect the level of which Dylan Brooks is comfortable being exactly who he is, right? We say that all the time, not just in sports, but in life, where show who you really are and the people who ride with you are going to ride with you. And those who don't, well, they were never going to do it in the first place. So kind of turn the other cheek. And he has done that to every single team. He did that to poor Theo Pinson last night. I don't think Theo Pinson entered that game thinking he was going to be the subject of Dylan Brooks' scorn and ridicule, but alas, that's how it plays out. And Dylan's just Dylan. He's going to shimmy. He's going to trash talk. He's going to defend at an elite level for this Grizzlies team, and he's going to make a lot of people mad on his way doing it. And he has made a lot of people mad.
Do you subscribe to the theory that you need a wild card guy? I don't want to say crazy guy because you got to be careful with that word nowadays, but that sort of guy that's sort of maybe out an outlier, right? That you and John's talking about PJ Tucker defensively can be that get under your skin guy that, you know, that championship teams may or may not need. Do you subscribe to the theory that every team that wins at the highest level needs a guy like a Dylan Brooks to get a Draymond Green that can get under the skin of the others?
I do. And that's where I think his positioning. But the thing is, you have to have the skill to back it up. You can't just be out here talking crazy. And there's a certain level. I mean, even look at someone like a Patrick Beverley. And, and where does that value, where does that become valuable and where does that become detrimental to a team? And I think a lot of times it's team specific, too. You have to have a level of maturity amongst the group, and the Grizzlies have grown into that. But what Dylan does is invaluable because he can change. He can truly shift the energy of a game, even going in, and I know it's the Warriors, and they're a very easy team for the Grizzlies to get up for at this point within their ever-growing rivalry. But the Grizzlies on Saturday are coming off of an overtime game, coming back down 29 to a team that they should have never been down 29 in the first place in the Spurs. Most of those starters played 40-plus minutes, and yet the next night, they delivered the energy. And so much of that sits within Dylan Brooks and how he inspires the group around him to get up to his level. I don't think anyone can get up to his level specifically when it comes to a lot of it. But that's huge. And when you're in the midst of the long slog of the season, when it enters into the playoffs, where it obviously means more, someone like that is just critical for the ultimate unity factor.
We're talking to Jessica Benson from Rise and Grind, Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. So right now, if the season ended today, it would be that's the play-in, right? Was the 7 still in the play-in? Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't necessarily know that it would be the Mavericks. I mean, I guess if you're going to take sort of the standings at their face value, it would be the Mavericks. Now, I know there was no Luka last night, but there was also no Ja. I mean, is there anything about that series that would scare you if that is what it ultimately ends up being?
I think first and foremost, the Grizzlies have to and will take an alpha vibe into the postseason where it's not so much as being scared of whoever the opponent be or even, you know, worried about who ends up falling into, whether they finish in the 2 or the 3 spot, and then who comes out of the play-in, if it's the 2 spot, who's in the 6 spot, if it's the 3, whatever it ends up being. They can beat anyone. I will say when it comes to having a team like the Mavericks and watching them without Luka, it falls apart last night for them as they try to go Kyrie only. And to watch what Jaren Jackson was able to do on some of those switches was mesmerizing as he continues to make his run for Defensive Player of the Year. And I would be scared if I were the Mavs. Even Christian Wood, who, you know, formidable player in his own right, you're watching him look over his shoulder to see if Jaren's around to block his shot. And the second Jaren gets into foul trouble, Christian Wood looks like a much better player out there and more aggressive being able to get to the basket. I think how the Grizzlies came together and using that bench unit and using Jaren's defense and Dylan's defense down the stretch as well made me a little more confident in that matchup against the Mavs. But Luka's such a firepower added into the group. It's hard to really know. And we now don't get to see that until we potentially see it in the playoffs because every time they've played now, 3 Grizzlies wins over the last 10 days, but we never saw the Luka and Kyrie quote-unquote dynamic duo. They still have some dynamics to work out amongst them.
yeah, there's no question. So Ja Morant has adopted, obviously, as we know, and the team has adopted, Parade Inside My City for their post-game rally. If you were an NBA player, what lyric with hairspray would you go with?
Like for your... What lyric with hairspray specifically?
I mean, I assume that would be the choice, right? Or maybe like Rent, something from either one of those great works of art.
Well, okay, well, if you're going with Hairspray, then you could go with You Can't Stop the Beat.
There you go.
You can't stop the beat of this Grizzlies team, ever. No, no, no.
You loved High School Musical, didn't you?
Oh, hell yeah. I love all musicals.
Jason actually has all 3 on DVD. I know you probably don't believe this, but he's got all 3 of them on DVD and watches at least weekly.
Not true.
Oh, Jason, which is your favorite?
It was a complete lie.
He actually doesn't respect Zac Efron at all. He thinks there's not a lot of talent there.
Actually, that's another lie. I think he's gotten.
This is blasphemy on a Tuesday.
He was doing like some wilderness show that I enjoyed there for a little bit. I don't know if you saw that one. Him and that,
I missed Zach Efron.
Him in that environment was actually pretty cool.
That did gain Jason's respect. But you see, Zach Efron had to literally live naked and afraid for Jason.
I like range. That's my thing. Right. When I see range, that's when the respect comes in. That's when I want to trade jerseys.
Yeah.
And that's when you're going to trade back? That's when you complete the jersey trade?
Exactly.
I like it.
But no, it doesn't matter. Wasn't he Ted Bundy?
Ted Bundy, that's what I was going to say. He just did, I guess it was a couple of years ago at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, he took the serious turn as a serial killer, and he played him well.
Yeah, he was in Baywatch. He was Ted Bundy. I mean, that definitely.
The Baywatch thing was awesome.
He's like, I am so much more than Troy Bolton.
No question.
Gets ahead in the game.
See, again, that's a reference that's going to miss Jason, unfortunately.
Right. Mm. But, it's going to miss many, but sure I'm right did. There with it.
But there is, I think, a legitimate question to ask from that lyric, not the Troy Bolton lyric, but the Ja lyric that he recites, which is, has he set himself up for an unfair threshold or bar for people to judge whether or not he has changed or whether he has gotten the help that he needs? And if he has, what's it going to take to prove that to people? Or is it going to be a situation where that never happens regardless?
Yeah, I'll go back to what I said about Dylan Brooks at the beginning here. Like, people are going to feel the way they want to feel about you to some degree. So there are going to be some people out there who have made up their decision about who John Morant is as a person, and there is absolutely nothing that he can do. He could be the utmost, I don't know how we define perfect in humanity, but he could be 100% perfect, and there will still be people out there who find reasons to criticize, reasons to hate, and they'll make their opinions known because that's what we have on the internet. So you got to get past the ones that are completely, you know, lost causes when it comes to that sense. But I think John Morant understands the gravity of the situation coming out of these last couple of weeks. And if there's anything that we've learned about Ja, he's hyper competitive. He loves basketball first and foremost, like wants to get back out on the court, wants to help his teammates one day have a parade in this city for the Memphis Grizzlies. And so if you can kind of ignore the ultimate haters who are going to hate no matter what, it opens up a positioning of focus on the love. Like, the city loves John Morant. Even just seeing him get on the bench last night and the standing ovation from the crowd at FedEx Forum when he checks in, whenever he reenters that starting lineup and takes his place back with the Memphis Grizzlies on the court, that place is going to erupt. And so I would always advise, focus on that, because that's a really beautiful thing. It doesn't matter about the expectations of those that don't love you already.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is playing, frankly, the best offensive basketball for this long a stretch that we've seen out of him. It's plus 25 over the last four. It was 28, 31, 28, 25 over the last four. What's the key to it happening, Jessica, and what's the key to keeping it going with Jaren Jackson Jr.?
You've seen him just completely locked in, and that sounds so basic, but we've seen often where Jaren's defense has been able to fuel his offense. And sometimes it takes the defense getting going for that offense to follow suit. Instead, you have a situation like last night where he's putting the ball on the court, he's getting to the basket at ease, he's getting those second chance opportunities, his rebounding has taken an elevation as well. I think he had two putback dunks within that first stretch in the first quarter and 10 of the Grizzlies' first 16 points. And so you're seeing that help ignite the defense. And then they're just acting cohesively as opposed to one having to fuel the other. And you've just seen this elevation in his confidence, I guess you could call it, but just the aggressive nature of his game. He knows this team needs him to score. He knows that they need it, especially in this period with no John Morant, no Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark. What can he do as a consistent leading scorer on this team? And you've kind of seen that envelop his mentality going into each of these last, specifically the last four games where he's had 25 plus.
What's the theory on why Brooke Lopez has moved ahead of him in terms of betting favorite for Defensive Player of the Year? I thought this was a done deal. Yeah.
So did I. I was going to look into this afternoon, actually, because we were talking about it on the show this morning, and someone in our YouTube chat had brought up, like, well, the growing, you know, odds on favorite for Brook Lopez. And I was like, how? I mean, watching a game like last night, watching those last 6 minutes in which Jaren Jackson Jr. just dissects everything that the Mavs are trying to do and takes on the role of lead defender, it's hard to watch a performance like last night. It's hard to watch Jaren every single game and not think, oh, this is such a no-duh case for Defensive Player of the Year. But I guess it is not quite yet certified in the books.
Well, I mean, I think Kay Perk was right. Kendrick Perkins had a point. But he had a point, didn't he? That's the only explanation here.
In this?
No. I don't get it. I don't get it either. But again, these things change.
You usually are the one explaining Vegas to me in this sort of line of thinking. I don't understand that why all of a sudden it seems like they're holding the 17 fewer games against him, which at one point he was the clear favorite.
Well, like if you're watching, like, and again, I watch the Grizzlies game. I don't watch every Bucks game. But if I was a voter, right, and I saw what Jaren Jackson did to one of the most, dynamic, explosive, you know, wizards of ball handling in the history of the NBA, the way he shut him down on the perimeter and on the interior last night, there is no way that anybody is going to be over Jaren Jackson when you couple that with his blocks and his percentages and all that. Like, no way.
Kyrie is a bucket getter, and he got zero down the stretch. Like, it was remarkable.
And that was Jaren. Like, of course it is, right? But we're not talking about a, you know, Jaren got switched on a pick and roll. That was a very specific and particular adjustment that, you know, Jaren could stay with him, which is just not normal.
Brooke Lopez ain't doing that.
Yeah, that is just
no.
Brooke Lopez would be on his ass. Jessica, let me ask you this before we get you out of here on the college basketball team here in town. How much does that ending complicate the overall view of whether or not the season was a success, a disappointment, and where do you come down on that grade?
Well, I know everyone is mostly sad that, you know, the hypothetical of, oh, what could have been between Memphis and Tennessee, Sweet 16, Madison Square Garden. I'm still mourning that we can't see Memphis versus Boogie Ellis and USC. So that's where my heart lies in the what could have been. But no, it's so tough because for every team but one, it ends feeling pretty bad.
Yeah.
But for Memphis, I think it just felt especially bad, the chaotic nature at which it finishes. You add on the fact that by that point, everyone already knew that whoever won that game was moving on to face a 16 seed, and Fairleigh Dickinson didn't have to worry about a one seed, get caught looking ahead and imagining what could be getting back to a Sweet 16. But at the end of the day, they won an AAC conference championship, which Penny's first, and what this team was able to collectively come together and do, the growth seen throughout the season, Kendrick Davis's experience in Memphis was beautiful. He made it to the NCAA tournament, got to play there. Just a real bummer of a way for it to end with that turnover. And I hope that someday that's not the for lack of a better term, one shining moment that kind of solidifies how this season will be remembered. And instead you can look back at just how incredible of a one-year career he had here in Memphis. And same goes for DeAndre Williams and everything he brought, Alex Lomax. And you usher in the next future, and the future in college basketball is never guaranteed. So I hope eventually there can be some resting of, this was a really fun season, and they made it back to the tournament. 2 years in a row, that's a special place to be. Would it have felt a whole lot sweeter had it ended differently? Yeah, absolutely. But you can't just erase everything that happened before the officials didn't call a timeout.
Yeah. You're so positive. You are a ray of,
you know,
definitely glass half full.
You are a ray, and that's not. There's
I'm
nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think you probably go through life.
We need it really
with a happier
to get through it.
You know, disposition, and which I don't. I do not.
And John brings me down.
Well, everyone keeps telling me, they're like, man, you're such a good attitude with your Achilles, and I'm like, you don't see me at home, so don't worry about that part.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.